Glory to God.
Church leader, no matter what part of the world you are in, GrowTheChurchNow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at growthechurchnow.com. That's growthechurchnow.com.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
never one time my hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
Church leader, no matter what part of the world you are in, GrowTheChurchNow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access, and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at growthechurchnow.com. That's growthechurchnow.com.
Hello, 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 and welcome to you wherever you are in the world. I'm Marja Basaki, the Healthy Church Growth Advocate from growthechurchnow.com, and a warm welcome to you. I'm really excited tonight to be presenting the fourth, would you believe, it's 4 weeks since we started How to Be the Greatest Christian Leader. This is Gatekeepers Ministry Radio on blogtalk.com with evangelist Linda Kazres, who's the visionary and the producer of the show. Please say hello, evangelist.
Well, praise God. I didn't expect that. I want to give a shout out to our new global listeners. Thank you for joining us, whatever time zone you're in. We're always on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. God bless you and enjoy this broadcast. Get your pencil, paper, write down, take some notes. It's entertaining as well as educational. God bless you. Thank you, Deacon Manning.
Thanks so much, Evangelist. Fantastic. And you know, Evangelist Linda has a website called WatchWomanTheWall.com.
Watch Woman on the Wall, I should say.
So I'll say that again. It's WatchWomanOnTheWall.com.
Great. Amen.
And also, her book is out for winning souls. So important, evangelism and you know, winning souls. It's just so important. It's what we're all commissioned to do. And you can get that book at www.howtowinasoul. So how to win a soul,
to Christ.com.
Do you want to say it, evangelist?
Yes, it's howtowinasoultochrist.com. You can go to Amazon. You can go to my website, watchwomanonthewall.com. And also, you can get some information on our Israel tour coming up, and you're more than welcome to join us. And www.howtowinasoultochrist.com. That's the book website. So, and you can get the order the book right from that website. God bless you.
Fantastic. Thank you. And please, if you can, and you're on Twitter, link up with us at GrowTheChurchN, GrowTheChurchN, especially if you want to ask any questions, and use a hashtag, Greatest Christian Leader, or our Instagram, which is GrowTheChurchNow, and LinkedIn is also GrowTheChurchNow. So today we're looking at Nehemiah and his leadership qualities, and what we can learn from them. But before I go on, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm proud to be a servant of God, an author, an experienced trainer, and I've been in ministry for nearly 30 years. My professional background is training and organizational development with HR, and I've done every single job you can think about almost in ministry. And on two occasions, due to not having enough workers in those particular churches, unfortunately, because of the lack of planning and the organization, I really suffered. But praise be to God, you know, out of that adversary, Grow the Church Now was formed. I work with churches, ministries, not-for-profit organizations, and small businesses to help them look at how efficient they're running and to help them grow. We produce reports, workshops, and as you heard, we've got an online course starting. So we're all about the kingdom. We're all about expanding God's kingdom. So today, as I said, we are talking about Nehemiah's leadership style and how he dealt with adversity, something I'm sure we all have to deal with. So I know that if any of us listening, anybody that you know, if you are carrying out God's will through his mission or the vision for your church, your ministry, your community, or even your business, almost without exception, I think you can expect some sort of opposition. You know, people form their own opinions on what we're doing, whether they think you're right or whether they think you're wrong. And in some cases, they've never even met you. Others will openly expose or oppose what you're doing, but actually have no foundation for that. And those are the sorts of things that happened to Nehemiah, which we're going to go through. Now, I'm going to pray that may God give you the power to overcome every form of opposition. Not just the power, but the authority to overcome it, as he gave to his, as Jesus gave to his disciples. Both physically and spiritually, may he give you the power to overcome. Amen. Now, it may also be true for you that in the face of constant opposition, you face discouragement, fear, doubt. You might even question if you were truly called to the mission. But I am talking to you because I believe God is looking for you and me and all of us to build the broken walls of souls despite the barriers that we face. May you receive the power to stand firm in the face of opposition. Now, as long as you're on a kingdom mission, as I said, there is going to be some sort of opposition. A pastor friend actually told me, she said, you know, if you're going in the right direction, you can bet your life that, you know, there are going to be obstacles in the way. And, you know, in this episode of How to Be the Greatest Christian Leader, we're going to look at five different areas of Nehemiah and how he actually dealt with that. Now, I'm going to share these with you, and I want to first of all say and put it in context. Now, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Now, on looking at it from the surface, cupbearer, what does it actually mean? Now, he was a cupbearer that became the governor to a province. Now, obviously, that wasn't an easy journey. But even as a cupbearer, he actually had great responsibility. For example, nobody could get past him without go to the king without seeing Nehemiah first. And he's the one that actually tasted the king's food. So if he died, you know, there would be a problem. So you can imagine him actually approaching the king to tell him that he was on mission and had to go back to Jerusalem. And, you know, to give you a sort of insight of the history, after the Israelites were captured, they were in captivity for 70 years. And Cyrus was the one that defeated the Babylonians who had captured the Israelites from the southern region. Now, Cyrus allowed the Israelites back into Jerusalem, and eventually a temple was built under the direction of Ezra. But unfortunately, the wall was not dealt with at all. And it's at this point that Nehemiah enters the story. Now, what we're going to do is take a short break, because I want to take you through these points one by one, and you do need a pad and a pen. And we're going to take this short break, but when we come back, we're going to be looking at Nehemiah's leadership traits, the strategies which led him from the palace to being a ruler of the province. So, see you after this break.
Church leader, no matter what part of the world you are in, GrowTheChurchNow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access, and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at growthechurchnow.com. That's growthechurchnow.com.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an arm.
Yeah, there is an army.
church leader, no matter what part of the world you are in, GrowTheChurchNow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access, and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at growthechurchnow.com. That's growthechurchnow.com.
Hi there, and welcome back to blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. I'm Madge Abasaki from growthechurchnow.com, and this is one of the series of How to Be the Greatest Christian Leader, where I'm talking about a great leader, Nehemiah. Now, at the top of the show, you heard J.J. Hairston, who was saying, "You deserve it." And just now, you heard Tasha Cobbs with Break Every Chain. Now, I'd like to share 5 points on Nehemiah's leadership style. And the first point that I picked up when I was studying, and there's so much about Nehemiah that you can really learn from, was prayer was the key. Prayer was the number one key. In the book of Nehemiah, the first book of Nehemiah, he is told that the wall in Jerusalem is still broken, and it's a disgrace to his people who are facing this sort of situation. Now, in that moment, in that very moment, he felt the burden of his calling and mission. And in chapter 1, you'll see the whole of the verse where he actually prays to God about this. Now, before I go forward, what does a role actually represent? Well, it could be so many things. For me and my interpretation, it represents security, significance, and acceptance. However, the reverse is true as well, because sometimes spiritually, perhaps if there's a dream, it can actually mean quite the opposite. But we're talking about a physical wall for Jerusalem, a physical wall. So that wall would represent a barrier to outsiders and perhaps enemies to the people that live there. It's not easy for adversaries to cross over the boundary, especially when there's a wall there. And so it's their first line of defense. Now, the Jews may have been ashamed because they were exposed as a result of having no physical boundaries, which may have led them to be vulnerable. After their history of being enslaved by the Babylonians, this would have laid heavy on the hearts of the people, and particularly Nehemiah. So Nehemiah's first action was to pray to God. He confessed the sins of his people and acknowledged that they had fallen short of his glory. He then prayed for God's favor and direction. Now, I know, and I've been guilty of it as well, many of us have put our plans first. So we've planned what we want to do, and then we put it to God after we've done the planning and ask God for his seal of approval. It probably should be the other way around. Now, it reminds me of an old adage, which is after the horse is bolted. Now, wherever you are in the world, it means, you know, you're doing things the wrong way round, basically. Now, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:3 to put all our plans to God. So that's exactly the strategy that Nehemiah decided to take. And we see that it paves the way for him to know how to approach the king, because essentially he needed to leave his job, his important job as the king's cupbearer, and take that boldness. And that boldness came from the power of God and the prayer and the communication. Now, if we put it into perspective, as I said, it was an important role. he, the king, might have chosen to go completely the other way and say no. Now, how many people have you shared your dreams with, your goals, your strategy with, only to find that they discourage you? So yes, it could have gone the wrong way for Nehemiah, but God filled him with the spirit of boldness and the right words to say. So that's number one, the power of prayer. Number two, know when to ask for help. Now, I'm speaking to you as a leader. I believe you're a leader. If you're listening to this, you're a leader. And I'm speaking to you because I know, as a leader myself, sometimes it's very difficult to admit that we need help in specific areas. Traditionally, a leader is seen as the font of all knowledge, the strongest one, the one to depend on, and therefore, if we admit that we need help, it might show some weakness. But actually, I've changed my mind because the opposite can be true as well. Now, Nehemiah certainly knew he needed others to fulfill his call. I say to you, leader, that no man is an island. Nobody could do this on their own. A good leader needs to know when to ask for help and who potentially can provide that support. Throughout Scripture, there are examples of our dependence on each other in the body of Christ and the importance of working together. It's not a sign of weakness. In fact, I would say it's the opposite, because when you are able to delegate and share tasks, it makes it easier for the leader to make decisions. Actually, in asking people for help or a person for help, you might find that you open up opportunities for that individual or people to use their skills and be part of the success of the mission. Now, Nehemiah knew he couldn't go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall without help and without resources, so he approached the king. In Nehemiah 2:7, he asked respectfully if the king could provide two letters. One letter was for safe passage and safety, and the other one was for supplies for building work. Now, on top of the king granting him this, he even favored Nehemiah with things he didn't even ask for, namely army officers and a cavalry. All this, he remained humble and credited God for everything, his gracious God, as he put it. Later, when he needed to manage the project, I call him the earliest project manager in the Bible. He asked different people from different strata of society, from priests to the traders and people, ordinary people, for their assistance, and brought them all together for the greater good for the kingdom. Now, number three, we'll do the third one and we'll take a short break again. Vision, mission revealed only when planned. For me, this is a really big one. I've got this saying, I've got this thing that I say to some of my pastoral clients when I feel they want to announce their plans too prematurely. And I say to them, don't crack your egg until it's boiled. I'm going to say that again. Don't crack your egg until it's boiled. Because the thing is, if you crack an egg before it's fully boiled, before it's had 5 minutes, what happens? It gets mushy, it's runny, it might fall apart, and, you know, you can't even get the shell off when it's just a mess, basically, isn't it? So what I'd say is, in other words, don't announce your plans until the right time. The right time would be after prayer. The right time would be after being clear about your vision. The right time would be after being clear about your mission, and particularly the strategy, which involves planning. Now, you may even have your trusted inner circle around you, but you've got to be clear in your own mind from God's direction first. Now, by inner circle, if I might draw on the example of Jesus, as he did with Peter, James, and John. And one example is when Jairus' daughter had seemingly passed away, and he took Peter, James, and John with him, Mark 5:27. So that's an example of the sort of inner circle, and we all need an inner circle as well. Another analogy that I have and involves my own hobby. I absolutely love gardening and love planting things. Now, when you plant a seed, it needs the right conditions, the right soil, water, and the right temperature. Only then does it start to germinate. But in the germination process, the seed starts to form little roots, and eventually those small green shoots emerge above ground. Now, it's at this point that it's at a very vulnerable stage of the emerging plant's life, because you can imagine it's the shoots are coming up and it's extremely tender, nice and soft, good enough for a bird or a rabbit or perhaps a snail to attack and eat those tender shoots. And if they don't attack it, perhaps the sun might be too strong for it and it withers and dies. Now, I use that analogy for any stage you are in, anywhere, that anything that you're planning, maybe for your church, maybe for your ministry, maybe for your Christian business, if you're a kingdompreneur. At this stage, you need to prepare to protect your fledgling idea or strategy. If you leak the details too early, things happen that you might not want to happen. Sharing your details too soon leaves you very open to people or individuals or even groups that don't understand and are enemies to your progress. So you need the appropriate advice and you need the right time to do things. Now, the reason I say that is because what I observed about Nehemiah is twice in Nehemiah 2:11 and Nehemiah 2:16 that he mentions the verse mentions not announcing what he is doing in Israel. He says he didn't say anything. He went round and he surveyed the whole area before he let his small inner circle know about it. That is a very big tip-off for all of us. Now, I'm going to take another short break. Want you to take that on board. Hope you're taking notes. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hook up with us at Grow the Church N Twitter or Grow the Church Now on LinkedIn and on Instagram. And as we take a break, we'll come back to look at the enemies of Nehemiah's progress, kingdom focus. So this is Madge Abasaki from growthechurchnow.com with how to be the greatest Christian leader, the Nehemiah edition. I will see you after the break.
Church leader, no matter what part of the world you are in, growthechurchnow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access, and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at growthechurchnow.com. That's growthechurchnow.com.
Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
what part of the world you are in, GrowTheChurchNow.com can help you develop spiritual and physical growth for your assembly with the groundbreaking 12 Keys for Healthy Church Growth online course. The subjects we cover are corporate prayer, vision and mission, leadership, discipleship, evangelism, planning, children and young people, financial stewardship, small groups, engaging the local community, promoting the church, preparing to change. Your course will include expert video lessons, presentations, downloads, unlimited access, and support 24/7. So if you are a church leader needing physical and spiritual growth for your assembly, register now for the 12 Keys of Healthy Church Growth online course at GrowTheChurchNow.com. That's GrowTheChurchNow.com.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Madge Abasaki from GrowTheChurchNow.com on blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And I just played the Grace Thrillers called Crown Hymn, and it's an old hymn, believe it or not. Now, please can you visit Gatekeepers Ministry on Blog Talk, because there's lots of great on-demand shows there, including How to Be the Greatest Christian Leader, which is a five-week series coming to an end next week. It's gone so quickly, and I've loved every minute of it. And I want to thank God for Pastor Linda, Evangelist Missionary Linda Cazares, for inviting me to do this series. And we are talking today about Nehemiah. Now, I've already gone through 3 points that I've picked up about Nehemiah. I want to include another two. And the first one is focus and boldness despite the enemies of progress. Now, I'm talking to you, Pastor. I'm talking to you, Minister. I'm talking to you, Evangelist. I'm talking to you, Kingdompreneur. And I'm talking to you if you're a future leader. Right now, you might be facing your greatest obstacles, and it might be now, and it might be in the future, and it might just be at the hands of others. Now, I call those people the enemies of progress. One of my mentors, as I mentioned earlier, said, you know, that you would go through these things, these tribulations are manifesting because you're going in the right direction. So take heart. In the case of Nehemiah and his assignment, his main enemies of progress were Sanballat and Tobiah, and actually they had a cohort with them. And they started with intimidation tactics. They built it up to open threats and manipulation and lies. And they did everything. And some of us listening have been through all that. But take heart, because when Tobiah and when Sanballat first saw that Nehemiah was leading this group, and it was as early as Nehemiah 2 in verse 18, I believe, when he saw that they saw that the wall was being built, they were trying to be intimidating. In England, we would call that mickey-taking, and we'd call it other things that I may not be able to repeat on the air. But nevertheless, the idea was to put him off. But one thing I have noted about Nehemiah was how focused he was, despite all of that stuff going on. Now, we don't know why exactly they felt threatened, but the Bible gives us a clue, because one of them was a Hornite and the other one were Amorites. And there had been this long history of tensions between them and, you know, the Jews against them. And they were basically outsiders, and they were driven from the promised land by God. So there was a lot of bad blood there. And so there could have been a resentment. But it could have been the fact that, you know, we can see progress is being made and we want to destabilize it. And how many times in the church, for example, you know, I've seen this myself in the church where people are looking at the progress that somebody is making in areas that were never progressive before. And all they're interested in is destroying that because they're comfortable with the status quo. There could be jealousy there. They could feel threatened, or they might even feel inferior. Whatever the case is, this rose up with Sanballat and Tobiah. Now, Nehemiah stood up to them from the beginning, and he announced boldly when they openly, basically were mocking him. In Nehemiah 2:20, he said, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." And that's supernatural boldness. So take heart, if you're a leader listening, that everything can be overcome just by the power of God and the focus, the prayer, and by keeping going when everything feels as though it's failing. Because if we keep going, we will get there. But the problem is that some of us will stop before we get to our destination. That's a mistake. And that's what I feel we can learn from Nehemiah there. Now, the last point I want to make, and can I say that there are more than just 5 points? I just felt that these 5 points that I've made today were quite significant, and that's why I'm bringing it up today. However, as Bible scholars yourself that are listening out there, there are many other points that we could bring up. Now, the fifth and final for today is he was kingdom-minded. Now, let me bring this up to the 21st century and contemporary. I'm going to keep it real. It seems to me that parts of the church, the body of Christ, have been so caught up with the era of social media. It could be Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever it is. So caught up with this instant fame thing and the personal branding, and sometimes we can lose sight. And you know, social media is not the only thing, but I'm using that as an example because it's had a massive effect and influence on what we do, even as a body. Now, I have nothing against social media. I use it myself. I have nothing against us promoting, you know, the word of God. I have nothing against us using it as a tool, but there needs to be some sort of balance. And sometimes because we get caught up with it, we are focused on perhaps our church and the building and the four walls that are contained around it and our organization and our ambitions and our personal goals. And somehow then takes over the early idea of the church. And if we look at the early church in Acts 2:1, they were together of one accord. It seems that we might be moving away from that. Now, why am I saying this? Because, you know, unity is absolute strength. And Nehemiah did actually recognize this. But, you know, if we look at Matthew 6:33, it admonishes us to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all will be added unto us. Nehemiah did this. He did this at the risk of the security of his job in the palace, facing critics and opposition, threats, and he didn't do that for fame or for fortune. He did it because it was God's purpose for the people. So he was completely focused on being kingdom-minding. He was what I call one of the great servant leaders. I think that Nehemiah teaches us all that the focus on the author and the finisher of our faith is the most important thing. All the other items, as I said, are absolutely fantastic tools, and they should be used, but they should be used in context of our God-given mission, and then we will have great success. Now, that's it for today, but before I go, I just want to remind you what I've spoken about. I spoke about the importance of prayer and for the directions before we move into our strategy. I spoke about don't hesitating to ask for help. I spoke about revealing the mission only when you're ready and prayed up. I spoke about focusing despite the enemies of progress. And I spoke about seeking the kingdom of God first and foremost. I hope you enjoyed that today, but let me say that next week is the final part, the fifth of this series of How to Be the Greatest Christian Leader, and I'll be addressing a subject which I think affects many leaders. Certainly, it affected me, and that's when things go wrong. What do you do when things go wrong? So I don't think you want to miss that. Now, hook up with us on Twitter, GrowTheChurchN, or on Instagram, GrowTheChurchNow.com, GrowTheChurchNow, I should say, and LinkedIn, GrowTheChurchNow. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other shows on blogtalk.com/gatekeepers-ministry, on demand 24/7. So I want to bid you good night. God bless you. God keep you. And may God keep you as focused as Nehemiah has been focused. This is Maja Basaki from GrowTheChurchNow.com with Evangelist Linda Kazareth here for Gatekeepers Ministry Radio. God bless you and good night.